Welcome into the Razzball Fantasy Football Show. I am your host, Sky Guasco, sitting back in the big chair from my man, Bob LaMarco. He's got the night off. I'm coming in off the bench. It's been quite a while since I've been in the hot seat, but I am very excited to be back with you this evening. We're going to be talking NFL draft losers following the NFL draft for our fantasy football teams. Let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so great to be back with you once again. I am your host, Sky Guasco. It's been quite a while since I've been here in the hot seat. I've had some time off as well. I'm in baseball season myself, and our guest tonight is as well. We'll talk about that in just a second, but the big man is out. So Bob LaMarco is off for the evening, so I am back with you. Make sure you follow us everywhere at Razzball, R-A-Z-Z-B-A-L-L. And of course, you can find us right here on the YouTube channel, Razzball Fantasy Football YouTube. We just got over those 1,000 subscribers recently, so we much appreciate that support. Make sure we keep boosting through the offseason heading into the 2023 season. Make sure to leave a rate and review on the podcast as well. I mention every time I'm on here, I'm a big podcast guy. I record these YouTube shows when I'm live, but when I'm listening, I actually hit the podcast more than YouTube personally because I'm always on the go. So make sure you hit us on the podcast anywhere you can find us, Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. And of course, we do baseball, we do basketball, we got hockey playoffs going on. We are got you covered in every single sport. We've got you covered on articles from all of our great writers on the site, razzball.com. So make sure you check us out. Once again, very excited to cover some of the fantasy football losers for this evening. And we got a special guest coming in for us tonight. It's been a long time, over about a year, since the two of us have collaborated, unfortunately. But I'm very excited to bring back my friend, and I want to get you on the screen. Keelan, it's so great to have you back once again. You can find her on Twitter at Keelan, K-E-E-L-I-N, underscore 12-12-F-T. Keelan, what's up? It's great to have you back. Thanks for joining.
Yeah. Dream team's back together. It only took 365 days, maybe plus some. Also, I can't believe we have 1,000 subscribers. That's awesome.
Whoop, whoop. Hey, man, we started from the bottom. Now we're here. That's what the kids say, you know? Yeah, it's been a really awesome journey. You know, Bob and I have worked together for a long time doing these kind of shows. But, you know, starting this kind of raw, I mean, Razzball, the flagship obviously is baseball with Razzball, right? I mean, known around all industries for baseball, and rightfully so. But football is coming up hot, too. We do basketball, we do hockey, and we're bringing in alternative sports as well. So it's so much support from the people. Very excited about that. Keelan, I know you're in baseball season. I'm in baseball season. Things are kind of crazy right now. We just got through the NFL draft. You and I have not been on the show since that happened just last weekend. So we're going to jump into pretty quickly here our top five fantasy losers following the NFL draft. We'll talk about those players, but just in general, was there a big surprise on draft day? I know that you're a Saints, you're a Titans fan. I'm a Niners fan. I'm a Chargers guy because I'm a Justin Herbert homer from my Duck days and things like that. So was there anything that just, not a loser per se, but just in a kind of a holy smokes or I can't believe that happened or why didn't they do this kind of a move from draft day?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, I'm a Titans fan, so obviously I was looking at all of that. And I think some of the things that surprised me is that they didn't, you know, act on getting many more targets for whatever quarterback they choose to use. And then they picked up a Will Levis, or I don't know if that's how you say his name, but yeah, that was a weird and surprising. So yeah, not my favorite, but here we are.
Yeah. And interestingly, and we won't dwell on this show, but he was widely considered a top five pick, top 10 at least. Right.
Yeah.
And he falls out of the top five, falls out of the top 10. Late first round, falls out of the first round, and now it's all of a sudden like, oh my god, like it, you know, whatever, gets picked up by the Titans. Now I would agree with you, he's not my favorite quarterback in this class, but unfortunately the Malik Willis experiment has probably run dry in Tennessee. I liked him a lot coming out last year, but maybe just premature. He needs some more time to develop. I have no hate on Ryan Tannehill at all, but he's long in the tooth, of course,
right?
And outside of Derrick Henry, the Titans are, I hate to use the rebuild term.
Oh, totally, though.
But they really are kind of, they're so well coached and they're so well disciplined, they're competitive. But with four brand new quarterbacks, including Trevor Lawrence, still in that division. And the Jags having a huge second half last year, right? Houston starting to develop there as well. It's going to be interesting to see. And of course, the Colts bouncing back, you know, with Anthony Richardson. So anyway, yeah. There's a lot happening in that division.
For
and
sure.
And they have a long way to go there. So that was an interesting pick. But yeah. Ultimately, I think it was a good one and maybe a value ultimately if Levis can pan out.
I hope so.
I hope so for you. And your other team, the Saints, has a long way to go too, I think, is yeah. bounce back as
I'm
well.
I'm in the pain zone right now.
In the pain zone. But I will say both of those franchises for the better part of 15 years, I mean, plus, have been competitive playoff contenders and making runs. So it's been a nice time to be a fan of the Saints and Titans overall. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, let's turn the page here and get into our top five fantasy losers following the NFL draft. I'm going to let you kick this off again. This is any position. Now, this could be a rookie coming in that maybe fell into a slot that we don't love. This could be a veteran that was in a new position, but a rookie got drafted too, so we don't love that. Or a steady veteran that's in the same spot as last year and previous years, but maybe the situation around them hasn't developed the way that we hoped that it would. We just talked about the Titans, right? Like, we'll see what happens there. So who's your first fantasy loser following the NFL draft heading into the summer?
Yeah, so I believe my first one was Matthew Stafford, who I'd argue was already kind of going downhill. I drafted him myself, I think, 2 years ago, thinking, you know, oh, this is his time. He's had a win. He's away from the Lions. Now it's his time to shine. But that is not the case. But for the Rams specifically, you know, they didn't work to improve their depth through the draft. So I told you this would be brief, but I mean, still Cooper Kupp kind of remains his main target. So that's going to be great for fantasy for people who get Cooper Kupp. But, you know, Matthew Stafford, he's not going to be able to really change much this season, I would imagine. And they also didn't do anything to sort of shore up their O-line protection. So again, yeah, that's not good for him. It's pretty straightforward with that one that it was surprising that they didn't make either of those moves to help him.
I agree. And we just talked about the Titans and the Saints. I'm not going to dwell on those teams, but in comparison, those are teams in divisions where they didn't move the needle crazy in the draft, but like they may not need to stay competitive. The Rams obviously went all in a couple years ago, went Matt Stafford, sold the farm for numerous years. Don't have first round picks for another couple of seasons, right? Like sold out, worked out, got the W, won the ship, come back though, had the hangover and then all the injuries. And they've had a really tough time. And let's not pretend like the Seahawks are going anywhere. They had a much more improved season last year. You know, my Niners have come up short, but they're at the end every single season with an incredible defense.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals, I think, obviously are needing some improvements, but they can blow up for 35 points a game. The Rams just don't seem like that team that can do that right now. Kupp coming back is going to help. Donald coming back is going to help. But you're right. Around them, I don't love it. I do like Cam Akers quite a bit because of opportunity, but not as like the bell cow because I don't think he can hold up either. I'm concerned about that. Question about the Rams quickly, just to kind of put you on the spot here for curiosity and my sake here. The Rams don't have any first-round picks, right, coming up. Because they're maybe over the hill and heading down versus back up from where they were, do you think there's any possibility in the next 3-4 months before the trade deadline would come up here over the summer and things that they might trade a Cooper Kupp or an Aaron Donald or somebody at the twilight of their career but still very effective right now but yeah. might only have a year or two left of that eliteness just to get a first-rounder back or a high second or something because they went all in, they got their championship, but they're going to need a lot of help to stay competitive for years to come in a growing younger division.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really tough question. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't that. But yeah, that's a good question. Just like we were talking about earlier with the Titans being sort of a rebuild, it seems like they are also sort of headed that way. I don't know, because like you mentioned, they sold the farm for Matt Stafford and it's like, are they going to rebuild around him or are they going to, I mean, he's getting older too. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wonder what it would be worth for them to do that to an extent. But also stranger things have happened. So yeah, maybe it would be smart if they did, I guess, if they want to keep doing, if, or if they want to do well this year, but
right.
I guess it depends on where they're at.
And we'll see what the contenders are doing around that time frame. Like if the Rams are 1-7 or something, 2-6 or just not doing well, or maybe they shock us all and they get competitive again. But
yeah,
that could be interesting to see what happens because they don't have much around those key players like they did with the auxiliary guys last couple of years. So we'll see what happens moving forward. All right, let's transition here. I'm going to get into my first player, and that's David Montgomery, which I'm super disappointed about. I like DeMont coming into the league. He was kind of battling with Jordan Howard back in the day, a fantasy fun running back for 2 years. But then my boy Khalil Herbert came on the scene and crushed for like 5 games while he was healthy. He goes down. So David Montgomery had a lot of opportunity last year, but the Bears were horrendous outside of some super fun plays from Justin Fields by himself. So it's really hard to judge what David Montgomery is able to do consistently. But digging into the numbers, I'm not as high as I was on David Montgomery as an individual, regardless of the situation. And then moving over to Detroit and then them picking up, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm extra not excited about David Montgomery. So 3-year deal worth $18 million, $11 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money for you and me. For NFL players, for running backs, it's meh money. It's like we're not super committed to this guy money. He's replacing essentially Jamal Williams, who was super fun last year, right? A league leading 17 rushing touchdowns, breaking any sort of Barry Sanders record is obviously incredible. So shouts out to Jamal Williams, but Jamal Williams is straight up like the beneficiary of like 11 tackles inside the 1-yard line from a Jared Goff pass.
Yeah.
That happened with Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson like 10 years ago. There was this insane stat where Calvin Johnson got tackled inside the 2 like 25 times in 3 years or something stupid, right? Like, and then those are all running back runs, you know?
Right, yeah.
No shade on Jamal Williams, but if half of those are touchdowns, Jamal Williams now has 9 touchdowns and nobody cares, right? Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. So I can't count on those touchdowns being there for David Montgomery. He's also not as big. He's not as bruising. He's shifty, but I just don't think he's a goal line back. In 15 games last year, healthy, David Montgomery had about 11 fantasy points per game, RB 26, not impressive. In 11 games with Khalil Herbert playing with him, that dropped to RB 35. So less efficient when they're going with 2 running backs. We know the Lions are going to go with 2 running backs, maybe even 3, right? I had mentioned they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama. The string of Alabama running backs out of the SEC is incredible forever and ever and ever. So this kid is probably going to be amazing. Not to mention, we're talking about losers, so I don't want to dwell on Jahmyr Gibbs, who I love right now, but they picked him 12th overall, right? We live in a land now where running backs going in the first round is no longer a thing. When you and I were like kids coming up enjoying football, we had Adrian Petersons and those kind of guys going constantly in the first round.
Yeah.
That's not normal anymore. Now we had 2 go in the top 12, and they reached way up to get this kid, and you see the draft room blow up when they got him. Because he's a great player. So that doesn't make me hyped on David Montgomery either. So I'm a bit concerned about David Montgomery. He used to be a fun kind of high-end RB2 with RB1 upside per week. He should be the starter. He'll probably be first and second downs back to get started. But Jahmyr Gibbs will come up hot, and within 4, 5, 6 weeks, he might just straight up be the starter. David Montgomery's had a few injuries. I'm concerned, and I'm just straight up going to stay away from him, unfortunately, this season. Any thoughts on David Montgomery?
Yeah, I think mainly it's mainly just kind of sad. Like, goes from the Bears and then maybe finding his place with the Lions. And then it's like, surprise, we're going to draft somebody.
Psych.
So, yeah, exactly. So it was a big psych. But yeah, I agree with you. And also, I mean, he's getting a little older too. So yeah, I agree with you completely.
All right. Let's move on to your second player here. It is another running back. We got a lot of running backs, which is unfortunate because we need running backs in fantasy. But who's your second player that you are not loving and is a loser after the draft?
I still love him, but
fair enough.
He is a loser. I picked Deontay Foreman. So in the offseason, he went into free agency with the Panthers. They didn't re-sign him. Now he's with the Bears. It seemed like a pretty good fit with Khalil Herbert, but like the Lions kind of did, the Bears kind of did the same thing, and they picked up another running back. So they got Rashawn Johnson from Texas, who would have been like the top performer, the top performing running back, but they had Bijan Johnson as well. So, or Bijan Robinson, sorry. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's another kind of one of those situations where it's like, finally, I get my kind of chance to go, but surprise, Deontay, not today. So Johnson in college, he, like I mentioned, he probably would have been the leader of the team. But because he kind of was, you know, he had to compete basically for catches, you know, he didn't do as well as it might seem on paper. But in general, the outlook on him is super positive. I think in college, yeah, he had 93 rushing attempts for 554 yards. That probably would have been a lot bigger without Robinson there. So in general, it's a good move for the Bears. They made a lot of good moves, which is surprising and impressive. But, you know, for Deontay Foreman, I would say he was, and Khalil Herbert, honestly, I would say for both of them, you know, this is going to probably affect them to have this person who's out of the box going to likely perform well.
I agree. And, you know, the kid they brought up, you just had mentioned, is a big back as well, right? Deontay Foreman came out of Texas a few years ago and everyone was loving this kid, popped his Achilles, came back, which used to be a death sentence in football. It's not anymore, but it doesn't help, especially a running back, a wide receiver, whatever. Comes back, immediately like rips out his knee, just done again. He missed like the first 3 years of his career before he even played. Then he got a little hype behind Derrick Henry, and then he got a chance last year with Christian McCaffrey moving on from Carolina.
Yeah.
So he's got some pop, but most of his production last year came in like two or three games, right? It wasn't consistent, unfortunately. So I'm with you. Like already it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, before the draft, it was kind of like, cool, he has a number one position, and like David Montgomery's gone. This will be great.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now it's like it's a crowded backfield over there in Chicago in general, and you know, they're bringing in extra bodies. I will say, though, the Bears, oddly enough, because they've been just thrown shade for years about their missed draft picks, are widely considered by most draft, you know, experts, if you will, for having one of the top 3 to 5 draft classes overall. That includes defenders, yeah, offensive linemen, what have you. But they're rebuilding this team around Justin Fields, obviously, right? Which is a positive for anybody. So I'm with you. Deontay Foreman as an individual, a fantasy asset, not excited about him. The Bears as a team in a run game, I can't get stoked about for like dynasty. Khalil Herbert's kind of been my guy for a couple of years. So I've been like holding him at the depths of my dynasty rosters. I think I'll probably hold him through the summer minimum, see how camp looks, and probably just keep a roster spot. But if I draft a bunch of people this summer, he's not playing much, he's still kind of injured, I might end up having to drop him too, which is just such a bummer.
Yeah.
Last point here on the Bears before we move on. If you look at the overall rushing attempts per game last year, Philadelphia number one, Atlanta Falcons number two. I don't think anybody would guess that.
No.
Number three was the Chicago Bears, 33 attempts per game. But let's not forget, that's Justin Fields with about 15.
Yeah.
So that's not the running backs per se, right? So just be careful about that when you're looking at some of those stats. Okay, let's move on here. First receiver on the board for us is a loser. And again, this is just so sad because this dude as an individual, I love as a player. Josh Palmer's my guy. I'm a Chargers fan. Coming out of Tennessee last year, I thought was great. Almost a steal in the third round last year. Everybody was kind of like, well, great. He can cover Keenan Allen if he goes down. He can cover Mike Williams if he goes down. Well, they both did go down, and he didn't exactly cover them. On top of that, they bring in Quentin Johnson from TCU, who is a monster. I love this kid. He's actually my kind of outside of, you know, Smith and Jigba, who's getting all the hype, and rightfully so, and with Seattle. But Smith and Jigba is behind two monsters in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So, yes, Smith and Jigba will make a name for himself this year. One, you know, Lockett maybe moves on next year and he becomes that number two and he'll probably flourish long term. This particular season, though, Quentin Johnson, I think, is getting slept on because he's also buried, but he's buried behind two incredible veterans that can't stay healthy in an elite offense, right? And so 21st pick overall, first round pick for Quentin Johnson, that string of receivers, which is great. But Keenan Allen and Mike Williams missed time last year. When they did that, Josh Palmer had a number of additional opportunities, but he only had 11 yards per catch, which for a receiver is not amazing. It's pretty run of the mill. And 7 targets per game, which is nice because it's 7 targets. But with the Chargers and Justin Herbert, that should equate to more production. And unfortunately, it just didn't. Targets are nice, but the catches are what we actually flourish from in fantasy. So I didn't love that. He loses last year's upside. He was kind of a sleeper, kind of a Gabe Davis guy last summer, which is like, you know, don't tell anybody, like that's going to be your dark horse. And he was. I drafted him everywhere and it just didn't quite pan out. He loses that upside, but he could now almost like, I'm going to counter myself here just for a second. He can almost be a value now, maybe on draft day, because he's going to slip. He's not excited. He's not exciting, I should say. So yeah. In the 12th, 13th, 14th, 18th round of a redraft league, right, he's just going to be forgotten about. And because there's up-and-coming rookies, all this stuff. This kid's legit. He plays on a great offense. And they bring in Kellen Moore. Like, I'll take a number 4 on the Chargers over the number 2 or 3 on a lot of other offenses in the NFL. I'll put it that way. So I'm not completely trash-heaping Josh Palmer. But my personal hype and excitement for him last year is gone for now. And Quentin Johnson's, you know, legit, right?
Yeah.
I'll talk more about Keenan Allen and Mike Williams in a little bit, but I'm disappointed, unfortunately, with the situation that has developed around Josh Palmer. Let's not forget, you know, Jalen Guyton's around as well as like the super deep threat. So he's like the 4A, 4B, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, I think your kind of asterisk there with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams is like a huge point that they were both out and gave him time to play, because without that, which you're going to talk about later, it's not as meaningful. His stats aren't as meaningful.
It's disappointing because he had more opportunity, didn't quite develop. But hey, again, just a first-year receiver. Year 2 always helps develop. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about your third player here. And this is another running back, unfortunately. But let's talk about your third player here. Who is your final loser for now?
I went with a bit of a wild card on this one. I went with Myles Gaskin, who is a running back for Miami. I picked him not really so much because of him, but because what is unfolding there for the Dolphins. So he got re-signed by the Dolphins, which is good for him, along with like 4 other running backs there in Miami, but he was sort of on the depth chart, like the 4th guy down. So, and you know, that made sense. I think he's like 300 something on ADP. But they picked up Devin Achane from the draft. He was the 84th pick. And despite being the 84th pick, like you mentioned, all the running backs kind of slid in this time period. He had the 3rd fastest 40-yard dash in the combine, which is amazing. And if there's a lot of film of him out there, and if you watch it, he gets out of a lot of situations that a lot of college running backs definitely would not. And he's just crazy fast and is able to move well laterally. And in general, it's kind of sneaky. He can slip through things that I think a lot of people can't. So that being said, Myles Gaskin is definitely affected by this. And I think the real takeaway from that is that, especially for dynasty leagues, Devin Achane can be maybe something you're going to look into. I do feel like unless he gets injured or something, he's going to be somebody that will provide points and just somebody to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I like that. And if we go way back to Myles Gaskin coming out of Washington, 7th round pick, right? So a lot of these guys outside of Brock Purdy's, which obviously is rare, Tom Brady, blah, blah, blah. Every once in a while, there's like 1 or 2 guys per draft that develop from that. But how many players are actually in that mold, UDFAs and things that come through, right? Philip Lindsay, super fun for 2 years, undrafted free agent, haven't heard from him in 2 years.
Yeah.
Austin Eckler is really one of the only few that have like stuck around after that instance. So a bit concerned about that because draft capital matters in the NFL. These guys get picked at a certain, now there's busts everywhere. There's surprises everywhere, but these guys are slotted in a certain way by professionals who do this every single day, right?
Right.
for a reason, and I'm concerned. And look, man, two of my guys, right, former 49ers, I love me some Heem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, and like it's the 49ers staff coaching this team. Like, he knows those guys the most. Until they break down, which they do, until they break down, they're number one, they're number two, right? Yeah. And then they're bringing in additional numbers as well. We'll see what happens with Tua. Obviously, the offense is better with him, but
that's
a totally different situation too.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, just looking into folks who are interesting to me. That's concerning.
I'm sure worried about him. I mean, like, I'm like, dude shouldn't play ever again. But
yeah,
how do you turn down the money and the, you've waited your whole life to be this? Like, I get it.
Yeah,
but
and it doesn't seem like they're really planning around it necessarily, not in a meaningful way, which is equally disturbing. So
absolutely, I totally agree. Yeah. All right, so let's recap here real quick. We do have a couple honorable mentions. We're not going to dive as deep into these guys, but we did want to kind of just spitball a few more names that we considered diving into, but maybe just kind of mentioning because there's a lot of enveloping situations, right? Like, we still have, obviously we have, you know, training camps and injuries coming back and seeing what happens to some of these guys. But to recap really quick, to get started here, we did have Matthew Stafford, David Montgomery, now on the Lions. We had Deontay Foreman, now on the Bears, Josh Palmer with the Chargers, and Miles Gaskin still with the Miami Dolphins. Let's talk about a couple of these honorable mentions here. I'll let you go first. I got a bunch of names scrolling across the bottom of the screen here for our YouTubers. And of course, for the podcasters, I'll lay this out best I can for you. Before we get to these, I want to encourage everybody watching and listening, make sure to subscribe right here to the channel, hit that bell, and leave a comment of any of the names that you're like, who cares about Miles Gaskin? Or like, bro, you didn't mention this guy.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Mention it below. We'll get back into it and we can get on one of those in our future shows, but it does help us. We got over those 1,000 subscribers. Now we're shooting for 1,200. So we appreciate all of the help. Go ahead and give us a share. All right, honorable mentions here. I'm going to blast out a bunch of names at you, Keelan. Feel free to kind of cherry pick one or two of these names maybe that kind of stand up off the map here that you might be a bit concerned about following the draft. All right, we got Rashad Penny now with the Eagles. We got my boy Kenny Gainwell still with the Eagles, but it's very busy over there now with DeAndre Swift, of course. We have Alvin Kamara, which is a TBD, but looking at 6 games missed, right, with a felony. What happens there? Jamal Williams comes onto the Saints. Zeke Elliott with the Cowboys for now, .. And then, of course, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen with the Chargers. But we just talked about Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnson. And then Dawson Knox of the Bills. We don't think of Dawson Knox as like a top-tier tight end. But if you play in leagues with tight ends, there's only one Kelce. There's one Kittle. There's one Andrews. There's one Goddard. There's one Hockenson. After that, you got to find somebody. And Dawson Knox has been quite productive when on the field, but he's got injury issues. They got a draft pick going on. What's a couple of these players here that maybe you're a bit concerned about for honorable mentions?
Yeah, I agree with you definitely with Dalton Knox, which always confuses me because the tight end they picked up is Dalton Kincaid. So I'm like, DK, this is too much for me. It's like a version 2.0.
yeah, nice.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely. Like you just said, for leagues with tight ends, it's like hard to find some sometimes. So, you know, Kincaid's been pretty important for Josh Allen and, you know, Knox has been important for Allen. Will Kincaid come and take that over? I've even seen folks saying like he may lose his position to Kincaid. So yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on.
Absolutely. I agree. And again, like a lot of these offenses now are starting to, you hear it all the time, it's cliche AF, but it's the NFL is a copycat league. People come out, they do something cool, everyone goes, holy shit. They blow up the league, and then everyone else starts doing it. And then so somebody's got to change, they start doing it. There's a lot more two tight end sets. And the Bills haven't used their running backs in 3-4 years that they've had Josh Allen. He's their running back. That's not going to last forever, right? Cam Newton is the only thing I can think of that's similar recently to Josh Allen. Okay. Just like body type, size wise. Big Ben maybe too, but Big Ben didn't run like these guys necessarily. Yeah. But Cam Newton had D'Angelo Williams. He had Jonathan Stewart, right? Like he had Christian McCaffrey. He had running backs.
Yeah.
Josh Allen hasn't until now, hopefully. But they have to maybe pull Dawson Knox in, who's the veteran and can block a bit better, and then have Dalton Kincaid run out there, who's one of the top receiving tight ends in college football.
Right.
So maybe he plays a little slot because they don't have a lot of other weapons, right? Like, there's a lot of different angles they can take by taking a second tight end. This is the most tight ends drafted in the first three rounds.
Which is like, also forever. Crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But again, like, it's, we think of tight ends as kind of a purgatory after the big five or six, however you rank them, right? In fantasy. In the NFL, it's widely regarded on the offensive side of the football, outside of quarterback and center, tight end is by far the most difficult for young players to learn how to do.
Yeah.
You're learning all the route trees and the passing lanes and the option routes, but you're also learning all the blocking schemes for running plays and passing plays. That's why these guys take so long to develop. So having two of those guys that can help each other out and protect Josh Allen a little bit more, I think it's a great NFL move. I don't love it for fantasy because it takes Knox away and Kincaid probably will just take time to develop. For the Bills, I think it's a great move. For fantasy, it's kind of like a meh.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll just stash Kincaid on a dynasty roster somewhere.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else on this list that you want to dive into?
Yeah. I think, you know, we sort of talked about Rashad Penny. Miles Sanders left. Now the Eagles have Rashad Penny. But then the draft affected them because they traded for DeAndre Swift. So obviously that is, like we were just talking about, going to cut into Rashad Penny's numbers. So yeah, I think, you know, I feel like we've had a lot of these guys who, you know, get picked up and they're like, oh yeah, it's my time. And then they're like, surprise. No, it's not. Or you're going to be splitting this now. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that works. And it kind of makes me question, you know, them individually, super interested, them together. Now it's like, what'll that look like? Good for the Eagles, but yeah, for fantasy folks, might water down the numbers.
I agree. And I'm going to piggyback on that. And I'm going to add my other guy over there, Kenny Gainwell, where I've been kind of tongue in cheek, but also like serious about Kenny Gainwell being as good as Miles Sanders. And, you know, Bob laughs me out of the room every time I mention it. And it's kind of like, bro, he'd be starting if he was as good, blah, blah. I get all that, right? Like draft capital, again, it's draft capital, draft. When I watch Kenny Gainwell play, he's just as good in that offense. Now, they have like an elite, elite offensive line. They have an elite offense. They have Jalen Hurts that nobody can prepare for right now, which is incredible. And now they got A.J. Brown, obviously, Devonta Smith. Their offense is insane. So that helps tremendously.
It's crazy.
But if
I'm jealous.
Yeah, right. But if Kenny Gainwell got 20 touches a game like Miles Sanders does, I'm very confident the numbers would be the same or better for Gainwell. I'm just going to stand on that hill. So I've been excited about Kenny Gainwell, drafting for him in cheap and dynasty, just waiting out the Miles Sanders thing. And I did that.
Pumped.
And then Rashad Penny comes in and I'm like, hey, Rashad Penny's awesome. Like, shout out to San Diego State, right? I'm okay with Rashad Penny, no problem, but he's got some injury history. Maybe there'll be a 1A, 1B, whatever, with Boston Scott. Then they go get DeAndre Swift, which I called the last time I was on the show was the day before the draft, or it was like night one or something. We were doing draft recaps, and we got up to the Eagles or the Lions or somebody, and I had mentioned, like, I think DeAndre Swift gets traded because now they got three guys. It doesn't make sense. Sure enough, he does to the Eagles. Called that one. But Kenny Gainwell, I'm just really bummed. Like, I didn't think he was going to be an elite RB1 per se, but again, we need bodies on fantasy rosters.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to be a really high quality change of pace guy, elite handcuff, if you will. And he just isn't anymore. On dynasty rosters, I'm hanging on to him because I believe in the kid. Rashad Penny can't stay healthy. DeAndre Swift can't stay healthy. But while all three of those guys are, plus Boston Scott that nobody cares about, but is obviously a thing, it's a four-headed monster with Jalen Hurts running the ball. And I just mentioned they have the most rushing attempts per game last year. That's going to continue, but it doesn't mean Kenny Gainwell is going to get more. He's probably going to get less because there's more talent around him to get fed. So I was a bit bummed on Kenny Gainwell there. And then just a couple other running backs I don't want to dive into, but they got some stuff. Alvin Kamara, right? Like, there's not a lot to talk to because it's still developing or whatever, but this is a thing. I'm a big Alvin Kamara guy. You know, I'm not into like beating people up, but, you know, on the field. Jamal Williams comes in, right? We mentioned earlier, right? Jamal Williams leaves Detroit, which is good-ish, but he goes to the Saints, who need a running back. Great. league leading 17 touchdowns. I love that. But then they get Kendre Miller, who not a lot of people know necessarily, but third round, 71st pick overall, played with TCU, right? The kid came in basically as a nobody freshman, pushed out the guy ahead of him, Evans, who like was worried about this transition. He ends up transferring. They give this kid Miller an opportunity. He is leading 1,400 yards for the Horned Frogs heading to the national championship. Of course, they get waxed because they had to play an NFL team. But nonetheless, they were the second best team in all of college football last season, and this kid helped in a big way. All those running backs out there, Jamal Williams, Alvin Kamara, and Kendre Miller, they're all about the same body type, 5'10", 5'11", 6 feet, and they're all about 210, 220 or so. But they have different skill sets, obviously. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But for the first six games of the season, Kamara's out. Jamal Williams is the guy, obviously. Yeah. But Kendre Miller is going to be a nice guy that I'm going to pick up in like second, third round of dynasty drafts for rookies and just kind of wait it out, because who knows where this is going to happen next year, right? So Alvin Kamara, I'm not loving. And then last one would just be Zeke. Zeke is just kind of a wait and see. There's still an opportunity that he leaves. Obviously, they added Deuce Vaughn, which is, again, sixth round running back, who cares? But fun fact, his dad is the recruiting director for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh,
literally. So like,
crazy.
Yeah. So this is like, this is like the coach's kid thing, but like, differently, which is super awesome. And it, by the way, it's like a super, if you're into like puppy videos and sob stories and shit online,
I am super into those.
Yeah, totally. Me too. Google like Deuce Vaughn draft room video or something. His dad calls him, hey buddy, like, sorry it's taking so long, you want to come play for me next year? He's like, what? That's cool. It's the best. Anyway, super fun. Zeke's efficiency has dropped every single season for 7 years. Tony Pollard's there, obviously. I don't even know where Zeke would end up. Maybe you have a thought or two on where Zeke could go, but either way, Zeke is trending down big time. I mentioned Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. I'll save that really quick, but for me, they bring in Quentin Johnson. They both can't stay healthy. They do have Josh Palmer, who is an opportunity there, and a new offense with Kellen Moore. So I love both those guys. I'm still drafting them, but they lose some stock from last year's hype overall.
Yeah.
So I've mentioned a bunch of names. Do you have any recaps on Kenny Gainwell, Alvin Kamara, Zeke Elliott, or the Chargers wide receivers, Williams and Allen?
I mean, I'm going to be interested in Alvin Kamara, obviously. And also, you know, he's been there for six seasons, so it is kind of like, even without this, is his time coming? And yeah, maybe this is sort of his time to ride off into the sunset or do whatever. Maybe he'll go elsewhere. But certainly his situation, legal situation, did not help. And it's giving other folks a chance to use this time to maybe say, hey, I'm a better choice for this rebuilding Saints team.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And we're not talking about winners, so I don't want to get too into it, but some running backs that actually maybe had a plus, you know, Dalvin Cook, who's kind of in limbo. We'll see what happens, but they didn't really draft anybody. The Bengals somehow didn't draft anybody. Makes me feel better about Joe Mixon, right? We'll see what happens in the rest of these landing spots here, but it'll be really interesting to see how the rest of this summer shakes out. Yeah. But that is our show for today. Those are our losers, quote unquote, from the post NFL draft. Again, to recap a bunch of these names here, and you can find them in the show notes as well. That was Matt Stafford of the Lions, David Montgomery. I'm sorry, Matt Stafford of the Rams, formerly of the Lions. How about that?
There's a lot of switching.
David Montgomery of the Lions, Deonta Foreman of the Bears, Josh Palmer of the Chargers, Miles Gaskin buried in the Dolphins depth chart. Then, of course, we had our who knows. Honorable mentions, Rashad Penny and Kenny Gainwell with the Eagles, Alvin Kamara with the Saints, Zeke Elliott for now on the Cowboys, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen with those Chargers, and then Dawson Knox with the Buffalo Football Bills. Before we get out of here, Keelan, any other additional, either like a random name or any other thoughts from draft night, anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
No, honestly, there's so much I could say, so I will not anymore. But yeah, thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on. We're very excited, and you and I are finally dusting it off. It's been about a year since we did a show together, so I'm super stoked to reconnect with you, but also be back in the hot seat. I do love to host this show. I love to be around as much as possible, but like everybody else, Life is happening very quickly these days, and I'm pulled in multiple directions. So always honored for Bob and the Razzball team to invite me in here to hang out. And it's always a pleasure, of course, to hang out with you as well, Keelan. Before we sign off, please let everybody know where we can find all of your content.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at @KEELIN_12ft. And on Razzball right now, I am deep in baseball season, writing mainly the injury report. It comes out every Saturday morning. Come be morbid with me. I talk about gross injuries, sometimes not gross, and screw up your lineups, or at least let you know that your lineup's going to be screwed up.
Very disappointed to watch Ronald Acuna today take a foul ball right off the kneecap.
Yeah.
The dude wears, I'm going to vent for 30 seconds to get out of here. So Ronald Acuña is just straight up probably the best hitter in baseball. Outside, he might be the third best hitter on his team, but outside of the Braves, he's probably the best hitter in the league right now. Incredible player in general. He gets drilled by a ball. He's out, whatever. Comes back. He has a thing on his ankle, one of those pads from his foot to like 3 inches below his knee. It's like the largest leg pad for foul balls in the league. He gets a foul ball right above that on like the patella, drops him.
Oh.
He's on the ground for 4 minutes and everyone's like, oh God, he's done.
Right.
Gets back up, strikes out because he can't even stand basically. And then we'll see what happens with him. But Bryce Harper finally came back, right? You have a number of these injuries coming and going. I'm a baseball fiend. I got the Griffey hat. I'm a baseball kid at heart. Sandlot shirt, actually, now that we're talking about it. So I'm a big baseball guy, but it's a lot of fun. And your content's great. All of the writers at Razzball, again, all of that content can be found at razzball.com. Baseball, football content, draft coverage, of course, dynasty conversations in football. But if you're into the baseball scene, go find us on there for baseball as well. And of course, we got NBA and NHL playoffs happening right now. So we appreciate everybody hanging out for us. Keelan, it is always a pleasure. We hope to do this again with you soon. Of course, you can find me on Twitter as well. At Sky Guasco, SKYGUASCO. You can also, of course, hit the Razzball machine on Twitter at RAZZBALL. Download the podcast, leave a rate and review and a 5-star. We'd much appreciate it. And of course, hit the subscribe, leave a comment, and make sure to hit that bell so you don't miss any options. We'll catch you next time. For my good friend, Keelan, and everybody at Razzball, and shout out to my boy Bob for still trusting in me to even pull this stuff off. We will catch you next time. I'm your host, Sky Guasco. And we are out of here.